Family, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. If you're using the Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, our text is on page 479, Psalm 62. I'm going to read all 12 verses. Page 479, Psalm 62. When you get there, if you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 62, this is the word of our God. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they're together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Indeed, Father, we thank you for your word, and that we meet you in it, that we encounter you in it, that you've given us this book of prayers to teach us to pray and to draw near to you. So, Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand? Cause us here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and that we might love like you love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I remember some time back reading a story about the late Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson, pastor, scholar, translator of the Bible version called The Message. And for a season, he was a professor also. And so as I remember reading, after one of his classes, a student, somewhat distraught, approaches Professor Peterson and just says, "How do I pray? How do I get close to Jesus? How do I find love for the Lord?" And a moment passes. Peterson turns to him and says, tomorrow when you get up, open your Bible, turn to Psalm 1, pray and read it. The next day, when you get up, open your Bible and turn to Psalm 2, read and pray it. The day after that, when you get up, open and turn to your Bible to Psalm 3. Do this so on every day until you get to Psalm 150. When you get to Psalm 150, start over. Open your Bible, turn to Psalm 1, read it and pray it. As a church, we've been focusing these past couple of years on growing our love for Jesus. My heart for you, my heart for my family, my heart for myself, right? Our elders' heart for all of us is that our love for Jesus rises above all other loves, that our affection for Jesus triumphs over all other affections, that Jesus is first in our hearts, first in our lives, that we love Jesus more than anyone and anything else. Praying the Psalms is one of the ways that we grow our love for Jesus. Why the Psalms? Why pray the Psalms? So Dane Ortlund, he's the author of Gentle and Lowly, a marvelous book on God's heart toward his people. And in an interview, Ortlund says this, and it's obvious when we think about it, but I love how he puts this. Ortlund says this, the Psalms are the only book of the Bible that are written to God. The only book of the Bible written to God. Of course, they're written for us, like all Scripture is, but for the most part, the Psalms are directed to the Lord. And so that means the Psalms are given to us to give us words to speak back to God. The Psalms teach us how and what to pray, give us words to pray. And as we pray the Psalms, we're joining together with God's people all throughout time in history who have themselves prayed the Psalms. You look at history and you find Israel prayed the Psalms. You read the gospel accounts and see in the life of Jesus, Jesus prayed the Psalms. The church, since Jesus' resurrection, prayed the Psalms. Do you want to pray like Jesus? Pray the Psalms. And so this morning, I want to invite you to join me on a prayer journey through the Psalms. When you got your bulletin this morning, there was a schedule inserted in there. If you didn't get a bulletin or you didn't get a schedule, we also have them on the sign-up shelves out here in the lobby. It provides roughly two Psalms a day. A couple of the Psalms are a little long, so we broke them up into smaller pieces, but roughly two Psalms a day so that pray one Psalm in the morning, pray one Psalm in the evening, so we can start and end our day with prayer. Now, if that schedule doesn't work for you, no worries, right? Read and pray through both Psalms whenever you sit down to pray. Or if you don't have daily time with Jesus, this is a great way to start. Pick up the Psalms, start praying through them together. And you don't have to do, you don't have to do both Psalms if you're like, the schedule's too much. Do one a day. Take you a little longer, but that's great. That's what I've been doing for years. I pray through one Psalm a day. I get to the end, start over. I just want us praying the Psalms together so that we would continue to grow nearer and nearer to Jesus together. For those of you who do follow the schedule, what you'll find is each week in the worship services, Nate's been putting the services together and as much as possible pulling out some of the Psalms that you will have been praying through the week. So you find as you work through the week, through your Psalms, you end up on Sunday like, hey, I prayed that earlier this week. And then I'll preach from a Psalm for the coming week most of the time. Each week a different kind of Psalm, just introducing us to the various genres that we'll find in there. So confession and praise and lamentation. We'll get here in just a couple weeks to the imprecatory Psalms, try to cover those before you get to one in there. You don't know what that is, just hang tight. We'll get there in a couple weeks. We just want us to see all these different kinds of Psalms as we get ready to pray through them. And I really believe as we pray through the Psalms, and encourage you too, have your kids pray with us through the Psalms. And I know. Praying through the Psalms is going to teach us to pray, and it's going to draw us nearer and nearer to Jesus. You're not going to feel it every day, right? This isn't going to be a dramatic change, like, well, Chris, I've been praying the Psalms for a week. How come I'm not a brand new person? Doesn't work quite like that, right? But through the weeks, right, and especially if you get to Psalm 150 and then start over, you'll eventually see the Lord by His Spirit working by and with His Word in and through prayer. He's going to draw us nearer to Him together. So this morning, as we begin the series, we're going to look at Psalm 62. I picked Psalm 62 because I think it really introduces for us well why we pray the Psalms. So why pray the Psalms? We pray the Psalms because the Psalms open our hearts, because then the Psalms lead us to Jesus and grow our faith, and then the Psalms, they shape us, right? They shape us into Jesus' people. They shape our lives more and more toward Jesus, and so we'll see the Psalms shape our character. Why pray the Psalms? Because they open our heart, they grow our faith, and they shape us, they shape our character. Let's start this morning with open our hearts. The Psalms contain the full range of human experience and human emotion. All right, celebration. Praise the Lord, all you His saints. We started with a psalm like that this morning. Confession, Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Betrayal, my close friend whom I trusted, whom I ate bread with, lifted up his heel against me. Depression and deep anxiety, hear, O God, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Abandonment, why have you forsaken me? You cry out to God, where's your justice? How long, O Lord? And so the Psalms, they contain this full range of human experience and emotion. But often, many of us, we're afraid to bring our full heart to the Lord. We're reluctant for all kinds of reason. Some of us think, well, I could never say that to the Lord, right? It's inappropriate. It's disrespectful. Or some of us think God doesn't care. God wouldn't worry about something so small. Or God isn't even there for me. So what happens as we pray through the Psalms start to open our hearts more and more fully to the Lord. If you pray systematically through the Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, all the way through, you'll eventually say things in your prayers. If you just pray scripture, you'll say things you might not have ever said to God otherwise. Why have you forsaken me? When are you going to fix this? Where's your promise, oh God? I thought you were righteous and just. So the Psalms, they open our heart more fully to God. Look at verse 8, Psalm 62 that we just read. Psalm 8. Pour out your heart before him. David here writing the psalm, and then all those after him who sing it, right? We cry out to God in our pain, pour ourselves out to God, and then wait for his reply. Verse 1, waiting on him in silence, listening, waiting, yearning for his peace, watching, said, I've cried out to God. Now, God, what are you going to do about it? Right? There's an expectation God's going to act, that he's working, that he's just, that he's good, that he's kind, that he's powerful. There's an audacity to giving our whole hearts to the Lord. Derek Kidner says what happens, what we see in Psalm 62, is this spontaneous unburdening of our hearts, and that becomes then a disciplined expectancy of God to do something. We pour out our heart to the Lord, and we wait to see him work in and through our prayers, work in and around us, even through us. Pour out your heart before him. If you want to know Jesus more, if you want to love Jesus above all else, if you want to learn to pray and learn to trust him with your whole self, then we have to practice giving our whole selves to him. Every desire, every hurt, every celebration, every feeling and thought, pour out your heart before the Lord. And again, it's hard. Lots of us resist this for various reasons. Your upbringing, the culture, right? Your own baggage. That's why we need the Psalms. The Psalms give us words to pray, make us say things we might not otherwise. Name things, right? They open our hearts and name everything in there that we find. And one of the things that's going to happen, if you pray all the way through the Psalter, if you pray all the way through the Psalms, you're eventually going to pray some things that you would never say to the Lord. I said this, right? You're going to read it. You're like, I can't pray that. But you start to pray it. And you discover as you're saying that, actually, I do feel a little bit of that in my own heart. You see, the Psalms, as you do that, they're creating an honesty before the Lord, an openness before the Lord. And what that does is that primes us more and more to see Jesus. It primes us more and more to let the gospel meet every need in our hearts and lives, but only if we're willing to confront those places in our hearts and lives. That's why we need the Psalms. Psalms open our hearts. And then as our hearts are more and more open, as we see more and more what's buried there, as the Psalms begin to expose the depths of our hearts, it turns us more and more to Jesus. They turn us more and more to the gospel. And it's there that the Psalms grow our faith. They open our hearts, and they grow our faith. Look at verses 3 and 4, Psalm 62. David here is being attacked. We don't know exactly which situation. Some of the Psalms, we know a specific situation where it's written. This one, we don't. But some people are going after David, right? They're going after him in some way. We know that they're lying about him, says that. They're being two-faced, end of verse 4, right? They say nice things to his face, and then they curse him behind his back. You ever been treated like that? Someone says nice things to you, but then you find out they've been talking stuff about you behind your back. It leaves you reeling. That's what David said. He feels off balance, right? He's like this fence about to be blown down, like a tower, a building near collapse. So what should he do? What do you do when you find out someone's been gossiping behind your back, talking about you, right? Trash behind you. The temptation, verse 10. Maybe you hide yourself and your resources. Temptation for him. He could bribe a judge. He could pay off the people who hurt him. He could just hide in their money. We do this. Whenever we face any kind of hardship, one of our temptations is to distract us with entertainment. Go and binge watch. Bury yourselves in a game. or in a tub of ice cream. We distract ourselves. Or some of us said we try to manipulate the people around us, right? We can grab control of the situation. Others of you, you just charge right into it, right? And attack, attack, attack. Maybe we attack through complaining or through gossiping on our own end or through, we just post about it online. I can destroy someone with anonymous posts or go to their Facebook page. The temptation and our pain, take matters into your own hands. The Psalms, as they open our hearts, they lead us to Jesus. They grow our faith. Verse 11, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. It's a Hebrew poetic device. Often you'll find as you read through the Psalms will say one thing in one line and then say it a different way in the next line, sometime with bigger language, or they use numbers, right? A higher number. Think of Isaiah 6, right? Isaiah 6, the angels don't say God is holy. What do they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We could put it in the words of the psalm here. Twice the angels say, three times I have heard it said, God is holy. That's what's happening here. There's an emphasis on what's about to be said. And what's being emphasized? What's being emphasized? Two things. Power belongs to God, right? All these people attacking him, you're like, you feel powerless and weak in attacks. Wait, wait, wait. Power belongs to God, but not just power. Not just power. But also his steadfast, covenant, faithful love. The Hebrew word hesed here, right? His commitment to his people. You see, in the midst of this crisis, David prays the psalm. In the midst of our crisis, we pray the psalm, and our hearts are reminded the ice cream doesn't heal us. That online posting, it doesn't make things better. But our God does. Our God is all powerful. He raises the dead. And this dead raising God has committed himself to us as people, has committed himself to you. We sang that, right, and can it be? Jesus and all in him is mine. Jesus to the prodigal, in the parable of the prodigal son, the dad comes out to the son. He says, why are you upset? All that I have is yours. Jesus' steadfast love is mine. That almighty power, it's mine. In the midst of the psalm, as I pray the psalm, I'm led back to Jesus. In the midst of my pain, I'm led back to Jesus. To put my trust in Jesus. And my faith in him grows. My faith in him is strengthened. My faith in him is deepened. So David says, verse 1, we say with him, for God alone my soul waits. For God alone is my rock and my salvation. God alone is my shelter, my high place, my fortress. I will not be shaken. This crisis will not destroy me. This crisis won't break me. This crisis won't bear me. Not, right, you watch the commercials, not because I'm strong. Not because there's something about you, right? This crisis won't break me because Jesus is strong. Because power belongs to the Lord. And his steadfast love is mine. You see, as the Psalms open our hearts, they grow our faith by leading us more and more to Jesus. And the more that we're led to Jesus, the more our heart is open and our faith is strengthened, the more we begin then to look like Jesus. The more we grow into God's design for his people, for his church, for the world. And so we see then the Psalms, they shape our character. They shape our character. And this is why we begin this series, first with a series on the Lord's Prayer. Every week, I said the same thing sometime during the message. Every week, each line of the prayer, we pray from this prayer and we pray into this prayer. I said that every week during the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're doing with the Psalms. We pray from the Psalms and we pray into the Psalms. The Psalms open and expose our hearts. They lead us to Jesus. They deepen our faith. And as we pray them, we pray into them and they begin to shape our character. The Psalms form us, shape us, as we name God's character back to him, as we name God's nature and promises back to him, as we pray his purposes and his design for the people around us, for humanity, for ourselves, God begins to shape us by these prayers into these prayers. God starts shaping the people around us as you pray for your family and your loved ones and your neighbors and our world. God begins to shape the people around us from those prayers into those prayers. So, verse 9 and 10 again, Psalm 62. You're going to see this as we go through the Psalms. all these virtues and character qualities of God and of his people. And as we pray the Psalms, we're praying this about ourselves. Make me like this, right? Make me these kinds of people. I want to be the kind of person who doesn't trust extortion. I want to be the kind of person who doesn't trust robbery. If God multiplies and blesses you, praise the Lord, but don't trust those riches. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 6. Don't put your trust in all this abundance God gives to you. Trust the Lord instead. As you pray the Psalms over and over through the years, because we don't just pray them once, right? We keep coming back to them over and over. And as you pray the Psalms over and over, you become the Psalm people. You become the kind of people who trust the Lord, not riches. The kinds of people who are honest and trustworthy. The kinds of people who keep their word. Verse 9, the kinds of people who recognize social status, influencer status. It's not what matters. It's what God thinks of us. What matters is how God evaluates us. In verse 9, we're reminded how short this life is. Humanity is but a breath. We live a few years, and then we're gone. If you were with us last week, this is just really fun in God's timing. Verse 7, if you were with us last week, Easter Sunday, we talked about the word glory. The word glory in Hebrew has this connotation of weight or heaviness. And I like to think of it as someone going to the market to buy grain. You put the grain in the bag and say, well, how much do I pay for it? You got to see how much it's worth, so you put it on the scales, right? Verse 7, God is my glory. My worth and value are in him. You come then to verse 9. Look what it says. But life, humanity, is but a breath. A breath that when you put in the scales, they go up and vanish because they don't weigh anything. See, as we pray the Psalms, we're reminded how short our life is, how brief it is, and that shapes us toward eternity, shapes us toward the world and life to come. As we pray about the end of this life, we're going to sing this, right, later this morning. Teach us to number our days, O Lord, that we might have a heart of wisdom. Or verse 13, after death is judgment, when God gives to us according to our lives. That heart of wisdom, that eternal perspective, that living toward the world and life to come, it comes from praying the Psalms. As we pray the Psalms, we become the kinds of people the Psalms celebrate. Because the Psalms shape our character as we pray ourselves into them. And so we pray the Psalms. We pray the Psalms because they open our hearts, exposing them so we can take our full selves to our Father who art in heaven. As they open our hearts, they then lead us to Jesus, growing, strengthening, deepening our faith in him. And then they shape us toward the Lord, making us more and more like Jesus, more and more like the people God has made and designed and called us to be. And so we pray the Psalms. The Psalms give us words to pray. The Psalms teach us how and what to pray. The Psalms join us to God's historic people throughout time and history who themselves have prayed the Psalms. And so again, family, I invite you, pray the Psalms with me. Use the schedule in your bulletin, or if you didn't get a bulletin, on the sign-up shelves in the lobby, grab one. Or if you want to go through them a little slower, go through them a little slower. It's fine, right? But pray the Psalms with me. Pray the Psalms with me. And let's draw closer to Jesus together. Let's pray. And so, Father, we ask that you would teach us to pray. Give us the courage to confront even the darkest places of our hearts and name them to you. Lead us to you. Deepen our faith. Make us more and more into the people you've designed. Teach us to wait on you, that you alone would be our rock and our salvation and our fortress, that nothing would shake us. Would you be our glory? Would our hope be in you? Would our trust be in you? Would we pour out our heart to you? Would we know your power and your steadfast love are ours? And would we live toward the world and life to come? Teach us to pray. And would our love for Jesus rise above all other affections? For we pray in his name. Amen.